This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Farrah & Farrah, Brooks Rehabilitation, Wachovia, Geico, Sonny's Barbecue, your Southeast Toyota dealers, the Parts House, and by Everbank. The appearance of Pete Banaszak is made possible by the Cascades of World Golf Village. Now, to get things started, here's Cole Pepper.
Well, the Jaguars with a victory, 38-31 over the Oakland Raiders. Jaguars 8-5 on the season now, and next week it is official. With a win, the Jaguars can clinch the AFC South in a home playoff game. All they have to do is go to Indianapolis and beat the Colts. So they take care of business this week in a game that in the first half looked like it might create some trouble, then just a thrilling second half. I mean, what a second half of this ball game! And, of course, we'll have a chance to play all the highlights for you coming up on the Sexton Summary. But two Jaguars go over 100 yards rushing. Rashad Jennings, who you already have heard from. Maurice Jones-Drew also going over 100 yards for the sixth straight game. Jaguars, as a team, run for a very impressive 234 yards, and they win it 38-31. Let's get you updated on some other scores from games that have gone final around the NFL. We really thought this might be the quickest game in the NFL this week, but instead it was of the early games, the one that took the longest with all the scoring. Buffalo hangs on at home to beat Cleveland. Final score, 13-6. Only touchdown was a Ryan Fitzpatrick to David Nelson 11-yard hookup for the Bills. Then Ryan Lindell kicked a fourth-quarter field goal. That was the only scoring in the second half. 13-6, Buffalo beats Cleveland. Atlanta, no problem at all in Carolina. The Falcons playing very good football. Michael Turner with three touchdown runs in the ballgame, all from short yardage. 1, 3, and 4 yards out for Michael Turner, who the rest of the game was just steady and consistent. 112 yards rushing for Turner in a 31-10 Atlanta victory over Carolina. Detroit beat Green Bay. They knocked Aaron Rodgers out of the ballgame with a concussion, scored the only touchdown on a Drew Stanton touchdown strike in the fourth quarter. 7-3, a low-scoring affair in Detroit. Plenty of points still available for the Giants in Minnesota, who will play in that building tomorrow night in a game that was supposed to go today, but travel issues for the Giants first created problems. Then it got worse. Snow on top of the Metrodome, and the inflatable roof of the Metrodome collapsed. Huge holes torn in it. That thing might be on the way out. They're going to play this game in Detroit tomorrow between the Giants and the Vikings. Pittsburgh didn't get much going from the offense in terms of getting the ball in the end zone, but the defense certainly played well today. Both Troy Polamalu and also Lamar Woodley with interception returns for touchdowns as the Steelers beat Cincinnati 23-7 today, holding Cincinnati to just 190 yards total offense, 34 yards on the ground. What a performance by the Pittsburgh defense today in a Steelers victory. Tampa Bay beat Washington 17-16. The Redskins scored a touchdown with 9 seconds left, ready to kick the extra point to tie the game and send it to overtime. But instead, the holder couldn't handle the snap. The kick wound up being blocked. It was 17-16. Washington wound up losing to Tampa Bay. Of course, the Jaguars will see the Redskins in 2 weeks. Jaguars today, a 38-31 victory. Let's hear what the coach has to say. We go to the locker room and check in with Jeff Logan.
All right, thank you, Cole. And Jack, you've got to be proud of your football team. That was one of the most resilient performances that I've watched in a long time.
It really was, Jeff. It took all that as a team just to hang in because things did not go the way we wanted for a large portion of the game, especially early. But we hung in there, kept fighting, kept making plays, kept coming back, kept answering. And in the end, the special teams were special. We challenged the guys. I mean, we feel like we've got a great group of guys, feel like we really got a special group there. And we said, hey, man, it's really time that you impact us and be special. And they did today.
And certainly at halftime, me and Brian are going back and looking. This is the first time that you've had to come back and win, I think, since the Rams game last year. The fashion that you did it, you got contributions from Rashad Jennings, as you said, Deji Karim. And then you got to give credit to your two special team stalwarts, Montel Owens and Kasim Osgood. Kasim causes the fumble. Montel comes up with it. Those two guys were a factor all day.
Well, I'll tell you what. Those two guys are studs. I mean, we call the best you can be on special teams, we call them nines, and they're nines. And these guys are really, really good football players. And I give Kasim a lot of credit for holding together his emotions and his poise, because they were outside the boundaries of what should be allowed on the football field early. They have history, obviously, him being, you know, in their division. They know he's a good player, but he settled down and maintained his poise, and I'm very proud of him for doing that.
Maurice has been really the cowbell for your football team. But, I mean, when you have two backs that go over 100 yards, I mean, how sweet is that?
No, very sweet, very sweet. We did some good things, obviously getting both guys over 100 against a good front. I mean, they've got a good front. They're a big front. They've got some big D linemen. They play a lot of aggressive one hole. You know, they're going to be in there and loaded in the box on just about every down. So your yards can be hard to come by. And so to get both backs over 100, that's doing something.
Any injuries report? I know Justin didn't come back in the ballgame. Austin Lane returned.
Yeah, Austin returned. He was okay, I think. JD, I think he got a little issue with his leg, and I'm not sure, you know, which muscle, but a little strain there. And, you know, we just decided to hold it. He was trying to go. He was trying to come back, and I just said, you know, we just can't do it. I mean, we don't want to lose him for a long period of time. He goes back and plays in the game, and then it becomes a 3-4 week type thing, and just didn't want to see that happen, so we held him in the second half.
All right, Jack, congratulations. By the way, at the end of that ball game, I took my headsets off, you know, to come down here. The noise, the crowd was unbelievable.
Yeah, they were they were good all day. It was a cool day. I was wondering what our crowd was going to look like, because, you know, it was a cold day. If they're not really into it, they're going to stay home. And they were here, and they were loud, and we really appreciate that. I mean, that's awesome for us. You know, now we got to go up to Indy, take care of business, so we can have a home playoff game.
All right, thank you, Jack.
Okay, Jeff, thanks.
All right, that's the coaches' report with head coach Jack Del Rio and our own Jeff Loggeman up first in every Winn-Dixie postgame show, brought to you by our friends at Bubba Burgers. You heard the Baptist Health injury update, which is Justin Durant. We heard groin, not quite sure. You heard the coach saying you wanted to try to bring him back out onto the field. We'll find out more as the week goes along. Much more to come, including Jeff in the locker room, and, of course, Cole, Pete, and Marco, and you, as we go through the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show. Take a quick break and return. More to come on Jaguars Radio. Well, when the Jaguars win, everyone wins. At Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, you'll get a free barbecue pork sandwich tomorrow or Tuesday, since the Jaguars won today at Everbank Field. That's at all North Florida. Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Restaurants. Jeff Loggeman has David Garrard down in the locker room, and we'll throw it right to him. Jeff?
All right, thank you, Brian. And, David, certainly an exciting win, and I mean, great crowd. I mean, everything was just perfect today here at the vault, I guess you could say, Everbank Field.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the day started out where it looked like it was going to be just a nasty day with rain and cold weather and wind. It actually turned out to be a beautiful day, and, you know, it was even better when we were able to come out with that win. You know, started off a little slow early on, didn't get the drives going like we wanted to. I missed a couple throws early, but I felt like we just calmed down and started making plays. You know, I started making plays, receivers started making plays for me, and, you know, the rest was history.
I thought it was one of the most resilient performances, because here you are 7-5 coming into today. With four games left last year, you had four games left, 7-5. You lost the last four. But the resiliency during the game, you're down by 10, you score, you go back down by 10, you score again, and at the end they tie it back up, and then bang, special teams play, Maurice run. Yeah. I mean, it was just so resilient overall.
It was, you know, and with last year, I told everybody that we had learned from last year, and with that, you're going to be down sometimes in the games, and you've got to be able to continue to fight through it. You got to continue to fight and not let the snowball effect start rolling in, and guys kept hanging in there, even when it looked a little bleak at sometimes, you know. It was still the first half, you know, and I know the fans want to see us come out and dominate the whole time. It's just the NFL. It's not always going to be like that. But as long as you have a resilient team, a team that knows as long as there's time on the clock, they have a chance, then you're going to have a team that's always going to go out there and fight to the end.
Next week at Indianapolis, you guys are sitting there at 8-5. They're at 7-6. Here's a chance to go to Indy, possibly, you know, wrap the division up and get a home playoff game.
Absolutely. It's a big ball game. You know, whenever we play Indy, it's a big ball game. And this is a little bit different, because we have the opportunity, like you said, to possibly wrap the division up. And that's our goal. That's our goal for this year. So we need all hands on deck. We need everybody as prepared as possible. And you know, we know Indy. Indy knows us. You know, so it's going to be another dogfight, which that's how every game in the NFL is. So fans, get ready for it, because your Jaguars are still rolling.
Thank you, Dave. Great win.
Thank you.
That's David Garrard with a huge performance today. He is our O'Reilly Auto Parts Offensive Player of the Game, 3 touchdowns. That's the 4th time this year he's done that, and that makes him the leader in that category. Never been done 4 times in a season by a Jaguars quarterback. His 3 touchdowns give him a career-high 20, which also ties Mark Brunell, who in 1996 set the franchise mark with 20 touchdown passes in a season. And O'Reilly Auto Parts will be making a donation to the Jack Del Rio Foundation in the name of Jaguars quarterback David Garrard. By the way, okay, well, let's hold off on naming our Bueller Swiss and go down to Jeff Loggeman, who has former Raider Kirk Morrison, who I'm sure is feeling really good right now, Loggeman.
All right, thank you, Brian. Kirk, boy, had to be special to you to be able to beat the Raiders at home and to get one step closer to winning the division title.
Man, you know what? That was huge today. I just can't believe the way we played. You know, we came in at a halftime and being down by 10 points, we just said, you know what? We gave them that. We gave them 17 points in the first half. They didn't earn it. And we wanted to come out here with a second half and play our game, man, and it was great. It was an unbelievable feeling that we had, and I couldn't believe that we came out and played what we did. Such inspired football, knowing what's on the line. December football, man, it felt great. That fourth quarter was unbelievable.
The fourth quarter, I mean, I go back to the third quarter. You guys hadn't scored a third quarter point in the last 4 games, and then all of a sudden you guys come out and you do it in the third quarter. But it was just a resilient performance defensively, offensive, special teams. It was all around resilient.
You know what? They hit us with some plays. They're a scrappy team, man. They played well today. But we just came out with more plays in that second half. You know, how many points we scored? 31 points in the second half? It was a 38-34 game. Just the way we played, man, that was just exciting football. It was just exciting. I can't, you know, words can't really describe. You know, it was my old football team. A lot of emotions were out there, but I just wanted to win the football game in the end. You know, it was good being there with the guys, and, you know, I just wanted to make sure that we came away with the victory. It was coming down to the point where we weren't playing the way we knew we could have, but if we just kept trying, kept doing what we do, we're going to find a way to win the game.
It wasn't just your old football team. It was the football team you grew up watching and being a fan of as a kid back in California. But this week, going to Indianapolis, this team's never won an AFC South division title. Here's the opportunity.
You know what? We get to talk about that next week, man, really. You know, we know what the opportunity we have in front of us. But right now, we're going to savor this victory right now. This is a huge team win, and we keep talking about team because we do it together. We, you know, we're individual. When we play as one, you see what we do, man. From offense, defense, special teams, we all had a part in it. I mean, Deji Kareem, what a great return, you know, with the guys blocking for him at the end of the game. Our offense finding ways to score. I mean, big plays, small plays, doing the little things, and defense is finding a way to make a stop. It's, that's just the way we've been playing, man. That's Jaguar football. We've been down this road before. You know, we've had 6 turnovers in the game in one. We've had a Hail Mary in one. We haven't played well in the second half, and we find ways to win. And today, you know, the score – you know, 24 points in the second half. What, 24 points in the second half is just a credit to our offense, defense, special teams, team win.
All right, great. Great job, Kirk. Congratulations.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Jeff.
He had it right the first time, 31 second half points. And remember, the Jaguars the last 2 weeks in New York and in Tennessee managed just 1 field goal in New York in the second half. So 31 second half points. Call it an explosion. That's certainly what it was. Kirk Morrison credited with 7 tackles by the official scorekeeper. But remember, it's not an official statistic, so we'll see when the Jaguars coaches get to grade the tape exactly how many he had. By the way, all of our numbers here in the Winn-Dixie postgame show, the ones I bring you, the one Cole gives you, Jaguars final stats brought to you by Wachovia. They are a Wells Fargo company. All right, we'll come back. Now, let's do this real quick. Normally we have a defensive player of the game brought to you by Jack Hanania, and it was really close in a lot of places. We're going to name a Jack Hanania special teams performer of the game. Brought to you by Jack Hanania, Acura of Orange Park, Audi of Jacksonville, Hyundai of Orange Park, and Volkswagen of Orange Park. All on Blanding Boulevard, just north of I-295. Loggy, who's our Jack Hanania special teams player of the game?
Because Montel Owens. I mean, heck, what did he have? 3 or 4 tackles, recovered fumble. I mean, that's a close race because Kasim also was fantastic.
All right, so that is our Jack Hanania. This week we're going to call him the special teams player of the game. How about our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP? Loggy, I'm going to nominate Rashad Jennings with his first 100-yard day and a 74-yard touchdown.
Yeah, because you know what? This team has won on with the legs and on the shoulders of Maurice Jones-Drew in a game in which they really did a good job stopping him. All of a sudden, you get Rashad to come in and blow over 100 yards and have some huge runs. And that long touchdown run, I thought, really was a huge moment in that game.
And a lot of young guys getting better. I mean, Deji Kareem with a 65-yard return for a which set up Maurice's touchdown, and the run by Jennings and the day that he had. There's a lot of guys who are contributing as we go down the stretch here. So our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP is Rashad Jennings. And you can get your Bueller Swiss watch at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Robison Jewelry Company in Fernandina Beach, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Kingsley Jewelry in Orange Park, and Lords and Barons Jewelers in Tallahassee. You got someone lodged, or should we take a break?
I don't have anyone.
We'll take a break. They just cut you off. So we'll take a break. I guess that's the curt way of saying it. More to come on the Winn-Dixie postgame show after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Brian Sexton in the booth. Jeff Lodgman in the locker room. And he's got our Jack Hennany, a special teams performer of the game, Montel Owens. Jeff?
Yeah, hold on 1 second, Brian.
We're working our way towards it. Montel Owens. Okay, we're just waiting one more second. He's in an interview. He had a big, big game today. Run through some of the numbers for you. Final statistics while we wait on Montel to finish and have the conversation with Jeff. Rashad Jennings, 5 rushing attempts, 109 yards, and a touchdown. Of course, 74 yards. Maurice Jones-Drew, 23 for 101 and a touchdown. By the way, 6 consecutive 100-yard games, a career high for Maurice Jones-Drew. We go back down, and now Montel Owens is ready for Jeff.
All right, thank you, Brian. And Montel, you know, I've been talking with the head coach, Jack Del Rio, the last couple weeks, and 2 weeks ago he said, hey, I'm ready for my special teams to be special again. And certainly you guys were that today, getting the takeaway and then also Deji's big return at the end of the game to set up Maurice's run.
Yeah. This year, our special teams unit has been good but not great. Early in the year, Scobie, big kick. Our coverage units, our return units, just been average, been hanging in the pack there. But we needed something special moving forward. When you're getting into these playoff caliber games, you're going to need a little bit more. What you've been doing is not going to be enough. The stakes are higher. Guys are playing a little bit harder, a little bit faster. And I tell you what, special teams today came up really big. Deji's return, Kasim was great, awesome. A lot of our younger guys stepping in. It was a total team effort today.
And one of the most resilient efforts. I mean, you guys are down by 10 at half, and we went back and we were looking the last time you guys came back to win a game in which you went down at halftime like that was last year against the Rams, but you guys came out in the second half. It seemed like you guys never wavered in your confidence that you could win.
That's exactly right. If I could say we learned anything this offseason, what we did learn was to play Jaguar football no matter the cost. Your individual effort affects the team. And when you've got guys that are bought in, when you've got guys that no matter the score, whether you're up or you're down, you play your game, Jaguar football, nine times out of ten, you're going to end up on the right side of things.
You know, Maurice has been carrying this football team the last couple games. I mean, he's been running the football over 100 yards, 5 consecutive games, now 6. Jason Hill, Rashad Jennings, Deji Kareem. I mean, when you start to get into that push where you're trying to win a division title and you want to get to the playoffs, the more the merrier, isn't it?
Yeah. When I came in after the game, I really thought about the game as a whole. And I really didn't think about just special teams winning this game for us. It was a total team effort. Many big plays. I mean, even Mincy on a big sack there late in the game. Guys stepping up big. It was great. Total team effort.
Big game coming up.
Big game coming up. We've got to go ahead and enjoy this one until we come to work on Wednesday morning. We're going to come to work on Wednesday, and we got to get going. We got a tough opponent. They got a few days, a jump on us, really. What did they play? It's past Thursday. So they got a little bit of extra time, but no excuses. We're going to be ready to go.
Congratulations. Heck of a win.
All right. Thank you.
All right. That's Montel Owens. Jeff, we appreciate your work in the locker room. Real quick, through the numbers, Rashad Jennings and Maurice Drew both over 100 yards, and you heard Jeff say that for Maurice, that's 6 consecutive 100-yard games for him, which is a personal best and still a couple shy of Fred's 9. He could get there by the end of the year. Jaguars ran for 234 yards today, third consecutive game in which they have run for at least 200. And that, by the way, is a franchise best. David Garrard, 11 of 22, 159 yards, 3 touchdowns, which gives him 20 on the year. Passer rating 94.5, and his 20 ties the franchise record. Mercedes Lewis had 4 catches for 57 yards and his 9th touchdown of the year. Maurice Jones-Drew had 3 catches for 19 yards. Mike Sims-Walker, 2 for 23 and an important touchdown. Jason Hill, One catch, 48-yard touchdown. You'll take it any day of the week. Darren McFadden was the Raiders' leading rusher, 16 carries, 123 yards, and he scored two touchdowns on the ground, one from 51, one from 36. Jason Campbell was a 21 of 30, 324, two touchdowns, 127.6 passer rating. Leading receiver in terms of catches for the Raiders, former Gator Lewis Murphy, 6 for 59 and a touchdown. Zach Miller, their tight end, 4 for 68. Marcel Reese, the fullback, 4 for 48. Here's Darren McFadden, 3 for 86. He led them in terms of yardage. So big day for Darren McFadden, but a bigger day for the Jaguars as they come away with a 38-31 win, their eighth of the season. They are still all alone in first place in the AFC South. And, of course, next Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff at Lucas Oil Field. Time now for our Bud Play of the Game, brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. And we go to the third quarter. Jaguars trailed 17-7 at the halftime break. 12:56 to play, 2nd and 18 at the Raiders 48. David Garrard finds Hill for a 48-yard score. It's 17-14. Things feel good, right? Three plays later, Darren McFadden goes 51 for the score, and it's 24-14. That was the score when the Jaguars got the ball back at their own 18-yard line with 8:17 to play. A little over a minute later, it's 3rd and 2 for the Jaguars at their own 26-yard line. You're wondering, are they ever going to get this thing going? Well, a first down would be good. And instead of Maurice Jones-Drew, they handed it to Rashad Jennings, and it turned into an important touchdown and our Bud play of the game.
David hands it off. Rashad Jennings trying to get to the outside. Burst of speed. Is he going to get the corner? He is. First down and more. Across the 30, the 35. There he goes, 40. He's midfield. He's going. He's at the 40. He's on the run to the 30, the 20. There he goes to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Rashad Jennings.
74 yards, tied for the fifth longest in franchise history with Maurice Jones-Drew. He had it a couple years ago here against the New England Patriots. That gave the Jaguars a breath of life and a kick because all of a sudden it's 24-21. Then on the ensuing kickoff, the ball is knocked free by Kasim Osgood, returned by Montel Owens, and David Garrard then found Mike Sims-Walker for a 10-yard score. Jaguars took the lead. They would never relinquish. So many numbers. Cole will have all of those for you. Marco and Pete have the analysis. Jaguars win 38-31. Fifth time this year they've scored at least 30 points. That ties a franchise best. There's just so many of those that we can talk about here. But instead, we'll say goodbye. I want to thank my spotter, TJ Streit, for coming and helping out today, keeping us abreast of who's in the game and what's going on. The folks at CopyFax, the exclusive provider of business machines to the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jason DeFore, every week has our game charts printed in brilliant color and ready to go. We appreciate it. Our engineer, Scott Kushner, who takes a lot of abuse from Joe Fortunato. We still haven't figured out exactly why. It doesn't seem like he ever makes any mistakes. But Joe is perfect, and if you haven't figured that out, let me tell you, the most perfect producer in the land is Jaguars Radio's own Joe Fortunato. So, everyone laughing down in the studio right now, I know. Those of you who are at home, you know, I mean, just roll with it. We're mocking Joe. But when the Jaguars win, he doesn't mind. 38-31, the final score. We'll send it to Cole, Pete, Marco, Ed, Linda, Jay, the whole crew downstairs. Enjoy the rest of the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show right here on Jaguars Radio. Good night, everybody.
We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show now from Jaguar Central following the Jaguars' thrilling 38-31 victory over the Oakland Raiders. Jaguars are 8-5, Raiders 6-7. Jaguars can clinch the AFC South with a win next week in Indianapolis. That would clinch the division, a home playoff game for the first time since the 99 season, and would give the Jaguars a season sweep if they can pull it off in Indy next week. Test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. Pete Banaszak, Marco Coleman here. Well, I'll tell you this. Jaguars season ticket holders have been getting their money's worth on these home games, Pete. No doubt about it.
This was a good football game, a great, great game for the spectators. I mean, it was up and downs. It was peaks and valleys, you know, very emotional. But the winner turned out to be the Jaguars, who just made, they didn't make any mistakes going down the end.
I thought, Marco, the real key turning point, there was about a four-minute stretch, late in the third quarter. Derek Harvey came in the game after Austin Lane went out, got a sack, forced a punt. Jaguars, three plays later, Rashad Jennings goes 74 yards for the touchdown. Ensuing kickoff, Kasim Osgood forces the fumble. Montel Owens recovers. Jags go five plays, 22 yards. Mike Sims-Walker with a 10-yard touchdown. They force Oakland to a three plays and out, get the ball back, score a field goal. So in the course of what was roughly oh, I guess about 8 minutes of game time, the Jaguars wind up scoring 17 quick points, took the lead and took control of the game at that point.
How quickly things change. I mean, mm-hmm. you look at the first half, and it was the exact reverse, and that was the Raiders who was making all of those different plays, coming up with the big plays, coming up with the scores, the big hits. You know, the turnovers, you know, with Mike Thomas's turnover. Mm-hmm. And that you're exactly right. That was a complete turn of events. And then we got to that fourth quarter, and it was anybody's ball game, and the Jags found a way to win.
And if you think about it, the last 2 weeks, the Jaguars had put up good first halves and offensively hadn't done a lot in the second half in terms of points. That's your change today.
Yes, it did. They hadn't scored in the third quarter for, what, I think about 4 to 5 weeks, I believe, somewhere around in there. And here it is. They lighted it up. They, you know, just came with a gang of points. And, right. Was it 31 points in the
third quarter,
31 in the second half.
Yeah, which tied, Pete, a Jaguars franchise record for most points in a third quarter. So come out of the this is the best the Jaguars have ever come out of the locker room offensively.
But conversely, the Jaguars have the worst record in the fourth quarter, yep. I think, of giving up the most points in the league. So it was quite a turnaround, and it's great for the organization. They're in a great spot right now. They can control their own destiny, and hell, that's all you want at this time of the season.
Again, a win next week, and the Jaguars will have it locked up. A loss next week, they can still get it, but it would be a very unlikely set of scenarios that would lead to that. So basically what we're down to, I'm going to go ahead and say it right now, at 8 minutes to 5 o'clock here on December the 12th. This is the biggest regular season game for the Jaguars in 3 years.
I don't want you to jinx.
Oh, I wasn't going to clinch anything. I'm like, they still got to go and beat Peyton in his place.
Right. You got to be real cautious.
No, I would just say this is the biggest regular season game the Jaguars have played in at least 3 years, maybe a decade.
It's been a long time. They've never won the AFC South.
Right.
So, I mean, to say that it's not, I mean, it is. Actually, they have the potential to do something the organization has never done. Yep. So it's got to be up there, as far as the biggest games.
No doubt about
regular
it.
Regular season, anyway.
Right. We'll talk about the Jaguars' offensive performance. The running game, again, big today. Special teams was terrific. Key defensive plays. It was a total team effort today for the Jaguars in a 38-31 victory over the Oakland Raiders. Tell your special someone those three little words they've been waiting to hear. McRib is back, only at McDonald's and only for a limited time. We also expect to have Vince Monowai and Jeremy Mincy stop by. Talk about the Jaguars' victory today and look forward. We'll see if we get anybody to look for that 24-hour rule. Usually on Monday they don't want to talk about it. They've gotten past it, but we'll see if anybody's looking forward just yet on this Jaguars team. Back with more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show following a 38-31 victory over the Oakland Raiders right here on the Jaguars Radio Network. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show from Jaguars Central. Cole Pepper, Pete Vanizek, Marco Coleman here. Vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher can win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdowns for Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for details. We're pleased to be joined by Jaguars defensive end Jeremy Mincy here. Another sack today. A big play there. Hey, listen, these games are fun in December, huh?
Oh, definitely, man. That's what the great ones step up, you know?
And this has been as much of a roller coaster season as I can remember. I've covered the NFL for, I think, 18 years now. This is as much a roller coaster season as I've ever covered. But you guys, I mean, there was a point in the season where a lot of people were writing you off.
Right.
Here you are, a win away from clinching a playoff spot in the division title. How'd you guys weather the storm there?
We had some losses earlier in the season that, you know, we just stuck with our formula, you know. We never changed what we was doing. We just started doing what we do, doing now, just doing a little better, you know. And we worked on our fundamentals even harder every day, you know, working our fundamentals to get a lot better. And you know, what makes this team special is the bond we all have, man. A lot of us are friends. We got each other back, and you can see that on the field.
Yeah, but I'm going to say for you, you know, I've been here. I've been in Jacksonville for a while. We know each other, and I've seen you over the course of the time you've been here, an injury here, have a great training camp, and then just things not turn out. How good does it feel for you to have this opportunity to be a starter now and contribute and give the effort that you're giving right now?
Man, I give all praise and honor and glory to God, you know, for still being here. You know, I had some bad thoughts this past offseason, you know, giving it up. But, you know, I prayed about it, and I had all the faith in the world to come back, and you know, I was positive regardless of the situation I was in. You know, there's people on the blog saying I'm going to get cut. And I just read those things, and, you know, and I fueled my fire and kept stayed the course and kept working hard as I could. And I'm glad to be in the situation I'm in now.
You've always had a great training camp, but there's always just been some kind of nick here, that nick there, that just kind of prevented you from having the opportunity to get out there. But now you're doing a great job of coming out, taking the opportunity, seizing it. And I doubt very seriously you had to worry about getting cut for a while. If not here with the Jaguars, somebody going to keep on having you out there. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. You know, I'm just, you know, I'm proud of, you know, my teammates, most importantly. You know, those guys have my back. You know, you know, they believe in me, man, and we got a bunch of guys that believe in you. You know, it's not hard to pour your heart and soul and play hard as you could on that field for them, you know, and that's the chemistry all us guys have, man. You know, I haven't even knew Campton that long, but I feel like he's part of my family. I feel like he's my brother, And I'm just proud of these guys, you know, and I learned a lot from that guy, you know, this off season. You know, he taught me how to prepare for a football game. You know, I was one of those guys, I just thought hard work, effort, and will was going to, you know, get me in the position. But it takes wit, too, you know.
For sure.
And I started working that part of my game.
Gerald, when you know, good teams and years ago, before you were even born, I was on some good ones, but – good teams always had some rough games and games where, you know, like you guys could have quit real easy today. You got behind, you know, you come out and you take the opening drive and make a touchdown. Raiders come back and score and go back up on you on 10 points. You know, that's a blow in the stomach, you know. But you guys are starting mentally to say, starting to adjust and say, you know, we're not going to, you know, you're coming back. You're coming back and you're coming back. Tell me who some of the leaders are on this defense. Who are these guys that just keep you rolling? Is everybody is taking it upon themselves?
You know what? It's not just one standout guy. You know, we got a bunch of stand-up guys. Darryl Smith, Terrence Knighton is coming along. Tyson, our whole secondary. All the guys are stepping up, you know, becoming leaders themselves. So, you know, when you got a team full of leaders, you know, it's not hard for
you're developing a bunch of leaders.
Maturity, that's what it is. Yeah. Maturity. We had some growing pains with the losses we had, but we grew from it.
Yeah.
Well,
you can see by the play.
Oh yeah,
and it sets it up for next week. Yeah. And I know you don't want to. You want to enjoy this one for a while, but you know that I've already proclaimed it. Next week is the biggest regular season game in a decade for the Jaguars.
Definitely, man. This is a must win. You know, and we're gonna come prepared, and we're going to give everything we got, you know, to take Peyton Manning out of his rhythm and get him off the spot so he can throw us the ball a few times.
You put him on his back. That's what you got to do. Put him on his back, Big J.
You can't say that on the air. You'll get fined for saying that you're going to put Peyton on his back.
Exactly.
It's the way the league is now. I mean, you know, you guys saw the nickel dimer today against Middleton.
Are you pulling up at all, I mean, on the hits? When you zero in, when you got that tackle beat and you're going down, just a question. I'm just curious because some guys look like they're pulling up a little bit because they think, oh, man, I can, you know, there's that split-second pause in there.
I'm not pulling up.
No?
If they find me, they find me. I'm going to
God bless
seek
them,
and destroy. Yeah, no, that's my mentality, seek and destroy. And I love to play reckless football. It's to make it fun, you know, high energy, high effort. However it happened to happen, you know, if I hit the guy,
sure,
and get in trouble, I get in trouble. Yeah. But I'm not being passive for anybody.
Well,
Pete likes to hear that.
That's my kind of player because some of these guys that are getting hit with the fines are getting, I mean, hell, that's more than I made all year that you're fined.
Yeah, that's my kind of guy because I've been rooting for Jerry since he's been here.
Yeah,
exactly. My kind of guy.
They got away with one today.
They had one bad call.
Middleton.
That was a form tackle.
It was a bad call.
That was a form tackle.
No, he clearly breathed on him too closely. That's the issue.
He was just being a football player.
Terrible call.
But, right. Jerry, thanks for stopping in. Congratulations on the win. Going to be a fun week here getting ready for a biggest game, regular season game in the Jaguars in a decade. So enjoy this victory, and we'll see you in the locker room this week.
Definitely. We look forward to it.
Jeremy Mincy stopping by. Score a touchdown with Geico in just 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO today for your free rate quote. More when we come back here to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Vinny Monowai should stop by at some point. We'll have the Sexton summary, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and so much more. Jaguars win it 38-31 over the Oakland Raiders. More after this timeout right here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Cole Pepper, Pete Vanizek, Marco Coleman. We're keeping an eye on some of the action around the NFL. New England rolling right now in the snow in Chicago. Just scored a touchdown on an interception. Make it 20-10 with the extra point coming up. It is a whiteout just about with the snow coming down at Soldier Field, and New England is taking care of business right now. They're on their way to clinching a playoff spot with a win today. Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card. When you purchase at least 10 gallons of gate gasoline, you get $2 in JagBucks. For details, go to Jaguars.com. Time now for the Metro PCS Sexton Summary, the highlights and lowlights of today's game. Through the calls of the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Both teams went three plays and out on their opening possessions. Raiders would get things going, though. A three-play, 69-yard drive, and it was all about one big play for Darren McFadden.
They're rushing four. Campbell under pressure, dumps it off short. He's got McFadden with room to run. First down and more, 40-45. Gets to the sideline, 50-45. There he goes to the 40. Gets another block. He's going all the way to the end zone. 10-5, and he is into the end zone touchdown.
And it made it a 7-0 ball game. Jaguars wouldn't be able to get on the board until the second quarter. After forcing a punt, Jaguars took it from the 45-yard line of the Raiders. They had very good field position in the first part of the ball game. And after a 20-yard hookup to Mercedes Lewis, and then David Garrard converting on a third down, Rashad Jennings ran it down to the one, and the Jaguars were ready to punch it in from there.
I formation, and he'll give the ball. Nope, he'll drop back to throw. Turns and fires the pass, and it is caught! Touchdown! Mercedes Lewis, his ninth of the season.
Made it a 7-7 ball game. Janikowski's 26-yard field goal made it 10-7 on the following possession, and after an interception on a ball that originally was ruled as a catch and down by contact but was reviewed, gave the ball to the Raiders. Oakland took advantage, a 9-play drive. Jason Campbell to Lewis Murphy on an 8-yard hookup made it 17-7 at halftime. In the second half, Jaguars came right out and made a big play early.
Campbell with Bush takes the snap, has time. Shuffles, turns, throws, and this one is caught. Lewis Murphy, touchdown Raiders.
There was a Lewis Murphy touchdown. That made it 17-7. Jaguars, a quick strike offense to start the third quarter.
Huge play action. David's got plenty of time looking down the field. He's going to launch this one for Jason Hill. And Hill's got it! Touchdown, Jacksonville! What a throw!
48 yards to Hill. His only catch of the ball game. 17-14 at that point. Darren McFadden busted off a 51-yard touchdown to make it 24-14, but the Jaguars weren't done. With 6:44 remaining in the third quarter, Rashad Jennings put an exclamation point on his day.
And here's the handoff, McFadden over the right side. Breaks a tackle, free, and he's at the 40-yard line, middle of the field. He's at the 30. He's going to the end zone. They cannot catch him. It's going to be a 51-yard touchdown run by Darren McFadden.
That was the McFadden touchdown. Now how about Rashad Jennings going one better?
Third and two. David hands it off. Rashad Jennings trying to get to the outside. Burst of speed. Is he going to get the corner? He is. First down and more. Across the 30. The 35. There he goes. 40. He's midfield. He's going. He's at the 40. He's on the run to the 30. The 20. There he goes to the 10. 5. Touchdown. Rashad Jennings.
Made it a 24-17 Oakland lead. Jaguars then made a big play on special teams. Kasim Osgood forced the fumble on the ensuing kickoff. Montel Owens recovered. Led to a David Garrard to Mike Sims-Walker 10-yard touchdown. And after a Josh Scobie 19-yard field goal on the ensuing possession, it was 31-24. And it looked like the Jaguars were going to put the game away after a Don Carey interception. The Jaguars went three plays and out. Three and outs for the Jaguars in this game after just nine all year long. And the Raiders were able to tie it up.
Second and five. 2:09 to play. 31-24 Jaguars. Campbell at the line of scrimmage. Hands it off, and McFadden finds a crease, breaks a tackle. He's on the run at the 30. He's going. He's at the 20. He's at the 10. McFadden's into the end zone for a touchdown.
And it tied the game at 31 with a minute 53 to go. And the question was, would the Jaguars have some magic, maybe score a last-second touchdown? Well, it didn't take that long. Deji Kareem's 65-yard kickoff return to the 30-yard line set up Maurice Jones-Drew.
High formation, too tight. Here's the handoff. Maurice up the middle. There he goes. He's going. He's going 10-5. Touchdown. Maurice Jones-Drew. Right up the middle.
That run gave Maurice 101 yards on the day. Gave the Jaguars the 38-31 lead over the Raiders. Defense would hold at the end. Jaguars win at 38-31. That's the Metro PCS Sexton Summary. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. Reminder to visit Sports Mania for your chance to win the ultimate Jaguars game day experience, a limo ride, club seats, and Sky Lounge tailgate party passes for the Jaguars-Redskins game on December 26th. Register for free at your closest Sports Mania in Jacksonville. We're back to name the protector of the game, the Baptist Health coverage of the game, plus the good, the bad, and the ugly still to come as well. Jaguars win it 38-31. They're a win away from clinching the AFC South if they could do it in Indianapolis next week. More to come after this on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show following the Jaguars' 38-31 victory over the Oakland Raiders. Cole Pepper, Pete Vanizek, Marco Coleman. Time now to name the protector of the game. It's brought to you by the Insurance Office of America. A lot of times we go offensive lineman, but Pete, you got a little different spin on things
here.
Yeah.
Today, on a 74-yard touchdown run Rashad Jennings had, I'll tell you, there was two key blocks, one by Jason Hill and Eugene Monroe. Great blocks that enabled him to walk the tightrope down the sideline, cut it back, and take it in. And I tell you, I think that was the score that broke the back of the Raiders.
Well, it was certainly the score that launched the Jaguars. Yep. You remember, that only got the Jaguars to within seven, but it would have been very easy after the McFadden 51-yard touchdown to roll over and die,
right,
and the
right.
Jaguars didn't do that. So Jeff mentioned it several times in his postgame interviews. Resilient. I mean, this was a resilient performance by the Jaguars today. Time now for the Baptist Health coverage of the game. Baptist Health, Jacksonville's circle of care. Got some pretty good coverage jobs, but maybe a little different take on it this time, too, for Marco.
Yeah, we're going to go special teams, kickoff coverage, punt coverage. Kasim Osgood did a great job. You figure the fumble that Martell actually
kickoff
and had
return.
Some really, really good tackles.
Batted the ball back in on the punt.
Yep. Special teams was really big today, and he was a big part of it. I would say his coverage was outstanding.
Yeah. And so he wins the Baptist Health coverage of the game. Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. Jaguars fans, check out the fan zone section of Jaguars.com. See how you can win Jaguars tickets and some great Jaguars merchandise. Just look for the list of participating Parts House Car Care Centers, the Parts House, official sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll take time out when we come back. Pete Vanizek has the good, the bad, and the ugly. More to come on the Winn-Dixie postgame show after the Jaguars' 7-point victory over the Oakland Raiders. Back after this timeout here on the Jaguars Radio Network. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. We'll get to the good, the bad, the ugly in just a moment. But right now, let's welcome in Jaguars guard Vince Monowai. Another game today where that offensive line really took charge, grinding it out, setting things up, 234 yards on the ground. Vinny, this is three straight games over 200 yards rushing for this team. First time that's ever happened in franchise history. You guys are really playing well right now.
It's just the coaches in the beginning of the preparations and, the guys just making up their mind on what kind of team you want to be.
You got to love this approach, though. I mean, I know offensive linemen love it when you can run block, when you get out there, get after those guys.
Well, it's a lot easier than pass blocking, that's why. And, for us, we don't want to get to the approaches where we try to get third and long. So, that's something that we try to do is get some of those early yards. That way a lot of the offense opens up.
Yeah, well, shoot. Well, Vinny, early in the start of the season in training camp, questions about your leg, your ability, can he move, and all those type of things. You come into the lineup, the running game picks up, and in my opinion, you're playing at a Pro Bowl level. So what has been the thing to get that done for you on a mental and a physical level?
Like Jack talked about, just the opportunity and the role. And, that was the beginning of the year. That was my role. And, I stuck to my role. I stuck to my role. And, just the coaches reminded me just keep, any time you could go in. And, I never worried about it or questioned it. I did my job as far as, getting ready and helping Smiley in the beginning of the year. And then, unfortunately, Smiley got hurt and, just took advantage of the opportunity to be in there and just hopefully add my spark when Smiley was in there. And just took advantage of the opportunity and just, for me, just happy to be out there just with the guys and playing. Nothing, I'm just a little piece to the puzzle far as, that's Maurice than, getting all those yards.
You're quiet.
If you're a little piece.
You know, so that quiet, man, what I mean?
They forget that, it's the other guys. It's not one guy.
Right.
And also the tight ends and the fullback
yeah.
that really makes the game going. And, you know, we just, as far as us, you know, we just try to take those 3-4 yards. So when Mojo, you know, either cut back or he has to run outside, is that, you know, we're making him where he clears a cut and not really trying to bang into the pile. Mm-hmm. So that's something that, like I said, with Andy Heck and, you know, Ron Heller and, you know, those preparations that we take care of and just always get excited, you know, looking at, you know, every day we get the book, just looking at the running plays and mm-hmm. see what we got. It's like, okay, I want that play or that play.
Hey Vince, I got to ask you a question. Did you know that center from the Raiders?
Oh, yeah.
Did, because you were chit-chatting with him out there. I could tell.
A little bit. And, you know, he was kind of telling me it was our turnover, that, you know, the one that they got from Mike Thomas.
Right.
And we were both on the field, and he was looking at me. He was pointing. He's like, our ball. And I said, no. And I kind of gave him a sign like, no, that's BS. You know, got a sign. And it says our ball, but they got the ball. So.
Did you ever match up against Big John today?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. But, you know, my whole attention is not focused on – you know, John, but just blocking the play. Yeah. And, you know, I didn't try to play into the game as far as, you know, chit-chatting. Nothing.
Yeah. Well, you know, that being said, I mean, you would go up against him in practice for years, you know, 7 years, right? You guys were teammates.
Oh, yeah, him and Marcus Stroud.
Right? And so, is it any different in going up against him in practice, going up against the same guy in a game? Does it feel like the same old thing?
Go ahead and tell us about the brother-in-law stuff going on.
No. No, I mean, You just look at him as another person. You know, that's our goal, is just to, you know, if we have to run against him, we have to run against him. Or if we have to pass block, we'll pass block. And, you know, we just don't try to change our approach. I know he was going to be gassed up, you know, of course, all that talk coming mm-hmm. back. But as far as us, we don't try to change our game plan because we hear him, you know. We just do the same thing over and over, you know, go in, run our play, come back to the huddle. For me, I don't try to make so much of a big talk or, you know, go at it, because I'm trying to save my energy for the next play.
All right, so here we go. 1 week from today, chance to clinch the division, clinch a home playoff game. Is this going to be the biggest regular season game you've played in?
I don't know. I just take one game at a time. They're all big. Mm-hmm. And
huge opportunity this week, obviously.
Of course, and that's all it is. And you know, the same way, we just try to approach it, not trying to make it so big, and because, you know, you don't want to play out of yourself because you're trying so hard, you know, trying to make everything perfect. It's just for us just to, you know, do the same thing we've been doing, is just come in Wednesday, you know, get our books, and go through the progressions, and that's all we try to do.
Well, the good news is that the indoor building in Indianapolis does not have an inflatable dome, so you don't have to worry about what's going on in Minnesota today. Everything's going to be all right. Vinny, thanks for stopping by. A great game again today. You got the running game going, got it grinding out there, and it's been an exciting season here. We'll see you in the locker room this week.
Appreciate you guys having me here.
That's sure. Vinny Manawai, Jaguars left guard, having a terrific year, and one of the guys responsible for getting that Jaguars running game going again today. 234 yards rushing. First time in Jaguars franchise history, the Jaguars with 200 yards or more rushing in three straight games. And next week, you got to think that's going to be part of the game plan against Indianapolis, is to try to cram it down their throats for sure. All right, time now for Pete Vanacek to bring us the good, the bad, and the ugly from today's ball game. Peter, you got a lot to choose from on the good side.
Yeah, I do, but I love winning, as you well know, but I like the way we were winning the last couple of weeks. You know, like, this was a little different type of the way we had to go about it. You know, we got behind. We had the lead. Then we got behind him, and it was back and forth and all that. And I really, it's a true sign, because I've gone through the where a team is maturing, and they can take themselves back from adversity, and that's all good stuff. And the other thing I liked was how vital important at this stretch of the season is special teams. The special teams made the key play of the game almost. If it wasn't the biggest, it was right up there. Special teams. We had everybody contribute to this. You had your offense, your defense, and special teams. That's all good stuff. And the bad thing is, I thought the call in the third quarter, which we on Middleton, was a bogus call if I ever seen one. And you know, he was just, there was no blow to the head. You know, he was just being a football player. And that's what football players are. Defensive guys have to tackle. That's their job. They're getting paid to do. And he's just being a player, and that's all baloney, you know. And the ugly thing is, speaking of that, is is I think football players, and I'm noticing it on some players, are beginning, before they hit somebody, are beginning to pull up and think and say, should I hit him and take the $20,000 fine or not? And that's going to ruin football. You're stopped being a football player at that point. You know, football players is a contact sport, and what made it great is that it's a physical game, and these officials in the league are a bunch of geniuses, and all these geniuses over there are outsmarting themselves, and they're going to kill the goose that laid the egg. You just can't do that. Fining players $20,000 is ridiculous.
And that is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Jaguars win at 38-31 again next week. The Jaguars can clinch the AFC South if they beat the Indianapolis Colts in Indy. They would clinch the South, clinch a home playoff game for the first time since the 1999 season. Huge game next week. Stick around in Jacksonville. We'll take your calls. The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is straight ahead. Jaguars win it today in thrilling fashion. Maurice Jones-Drew's 30-yard touchdown with a minute 34 to go was the clincher, as the Jaguars have both Mojo and Rashad Jennings run for over 100 yards. The Jaguars perhaps learned from last year. Last year they were in a good shape at 7-5, lost their last four. This year, 7-5, well, they've won the first one. They win the next one. The most important game of the season. Jaguars win at 38-31 over the Oakland Raiders. Jaguars now 8-5 and a win away from the playoffs.